Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited to get in and talk about the future of electrical. The conversations we've been having behind the scene, this podcast has so much gold coming for you. And credit where credit's due, again, Alice Lang, who we just released the podcast with Offsite Tech from Brick and Mortar Ventures. She is teeing up so many amazing superstars in the industry, and this is another one of those. And today we get to have Jim Baldwin, the founder CEO of Domatic, and we're going to talk through the future of electrical. And there's so much conversation that I just blew my mind in the pre-interviews. And the main message is that the existing methods of powering buildings, Tribe, we know how inefficient both the construction and the operation, most importantly, of our buildings. And as this podcast is for you contractors and affiliates to grow your business by connecting the right construction materials, and we're going to talk about that, with the right technologies, we're going to talk about that, to the right handshakes to grow your business, to build better buildings. And so Jim Baldwin has been working on this for a long time, and we have this opportunity to fix and then create a plug-and-play system that forms the basis for smart buildings. And the smart buildings, this is real now, Tribe, that I've been having many interviews over the years as we just hit our 250th podcast. And a lot of them were video game stuff that didn't really work. And his background is so inspiring in what's actually working. And Domatic is the ultimate solution. And what's really important here is that he's made it simple, safe, and smart. And so how it's going to benefit is that it simply is going to save you time and money in construction. Our operators are going to gain efficiencies in building management, and most importantly, energy, which is an important conversation, and get our tenants into a modern occupant experience. And so the story that he was talking to me about in the pre-interview was, I remember back in college when I was working for Circuit City, and I was selling computers and stuff. And, you know, it's funny how one of the famous business books of Jim Collins with Good to Great, Jim Collins? Good to Great. Well, Circuit City was one of those businesses. And I vividly remember like working there and then this book and talking through at the time, it was the whole DVD of which, how it was going to go. And he talked the story about, think about not long ago when you had to have all these specialty drivers and all this stuff of plugging in USB to a computer that nowadays it's just plugs and plays, right? So what if you could do that for your whole house? And yes, this is a critical part of what they're doing at Domatic. And his background that you're going to hear about is really the secret sauce of how we got into this whole conversation today, that you'll hear his story about smart building systems today. We all know how fragmented they are, and it requires so many IT skills that simply, Tribe, you and I just don't have. Nor should we have to have that, right? And so the building operators should be able to repair and fix without calling an electrician, because we all know, Tribe, they're all too busy focusing on their craft. And that's what we're going to talk about today with Jim. So let's get to know Jim and talk about the future of electrical with you, Art of Construction Tribe, to crush it. Lock and load. What's your favorite beverage?
So I've become very fond of Japanese whiskey in the last few years.
Oh man, I'm a whiskey bourbon guy myself, and Japanese. What's a certain one that comes to mind?
The first one I discovered was Nika coffee malt, and I love it because they fool me into thinking somehow there's coffee in it, but it's really just the type of barrel they use. It has nothing to do with the beverage coffee.
You're speaking my language, man. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
I had an awesome excursion to Machu Picchu, a 7-day hike over the mountains, and it was on the Inca Trails. Fabulous. One of my favorite vacations.
Give us one story from that.
Let's see. We hiked over three peaks. The highest altitude was 16,000 feet, and there's really not a lot of air up there. So it was a pretty fabulous experience.
Awesome. And what's your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos? We're going to talk about breaking down around electricity today that we passionately call the art of construction.
Well, probably the two things that have consumed my time outside of work over the years have been making wine. So I've been in a wine co-op where we make about four barrels of four different vintages of red wine every year. Nice. And I've also got a garage full of woodworking tools that look at me with sad eyes every time I go out to the garage to get it. Because they feel lonely and unused, but I definitely have got a big passion for making things. So woodworking tools were one of my early, you know, follies of investing in hobbies.
Awesome. Well, I would definitely like to help you drink the wine, and that I don't have the patience for all that. But I commend you for doing that. Two cool, really cool things. So Jim, what is your story that led you to being the founder CEO of Domatic?
Well, I started my career off at Apple. And, you know, being at Apple, especially this was the early days, and we had this crazy passion for making products that were really simple for people to use. We believed that you shouldn't have to have a user manual to understand how to use the product. And that simplicity that we were able to create kind of got burned into my DNA. And, you know, trying to make things that are simple to use that allow other people to do more with their jobs at the same time has always been a core passion of mine. And the other probably interesting inspiration is I grew up in a house that my dad built board by board over the course of like 12 years. So I was the last of five kids. So the first few kids lived in the garage because that's the first thing he built while he finished the rest of the house. And then once he finished the basement, they moved into the basement. And then they finished the upstairs about the time my older brother was born and moved into the house. And then a few years later, I was born. And so I got to grow up in a finished house. But, you know, my dad, that was sort of my dad's DNA of being a builder. And my brother picked that up. He became a contractor and built homes for many years. And it's sort of always been in my blood to build things as a result. And then specifically around Domatic, we started doing some projects around smart buildings a few years ago. And we had played around with this technology called power over Ethernet. So this is kind of clever idea to use Ethernet cabling to carry power to deliver to devices. And it was created originally for you know, wireless access points and cameras were really the first things that benefited from a PoE approach. But people started to look at this idea of lighting as a PoE target. So we built a system that used power over Ethernet to power not just lights, but also ventilation fans and door controllers and blinds and switches and sensors and everything. And it was really cool, the idea of simple cabling, hardwired connections with data and power on the same wire. But then we realized that it fell short in a bunch of ways. It was very complicated, and it had an excessive amount of infrastructure and wiring. And we realized that because we're engineers and we can design things, we could do better. We could make something that would overcome the challenges of power over Ethernet for making smart buildings. So we decided to go ahead and build it.
So can you, I'm fascinating of your background of working at Apple. And I love to just start this thing by saying, we want to make it simple where you don't have to use a manual. And one of the things in a construction project is the mechanical closet, right? If you think about the AOCIT house concept of all this stuff coming through this place and the amount of quote unquote manuals and people and experts to make that thing work. Can you share with the Art of Construction Tribe a little bit about what did you work on at Apple back in the day to bring us up here full circle?
Yeah, it's interesting. One of the projects I worked on at Apple was a technology called FireWire. And FireWire was a contemporary of USB. But we worked on it about the same time that Intel was working on USB. And all the same motivation. It was to have a very simple way of plugging peripherals into computers that didn't require IT skills, didn't require that you set dip switches on peripherals to make them work, and ultimately didn't require that you had special software installed to talk to these devices. It was really, you know, it was kind of the first time anybody any company thought about making something that was truly plug and play. And that, you know, that experience at Apple kind of shaped my thinking about how products should work in the future. And in a way, in what we're doing with Dematic, you can kind of see the spirit of FireWire in what we're building here.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted you to share with the tribe, of the credibility factor of like what you've put all of the mad scientist stuff together, but yet the simplicity purposes. I'm curious, like how did you come up with the name Dematic? I love that when we get to have founders and origins come in, and I'm just fascinated by that part of the business.
Well, the basic idea of Dematic is it's really a what you call a portmanteau. A portmanteau is taking two words and joining them together. Like, you know, people talk about celebrity couples this way. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez are Bennifer, and Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are Brangelina. So Dematic is really the word domo, which is a Latin for home. And it also happens to be Japanese for very, as in domo arigato, and the word automatic. So when you join domo and automatic together, you get Dematic.
I just love the stories. I love your analogies because I appreciate the portmanteau. On the pre-interview, I was questioning how to spell it, what it meant. And I really appreciate you coming back with the answer there of putting the celebrities into that. So we've teed this up. So Dematic is the name of the company, and the whole preface is about intelligent power for smarter buildings, right? So the part I want to start off by, just talk to us about what is broken, or what do we need to talk about breaking down the silos of what's wrong with electrical?
Well, you know, it's hard to say there's anything wrong with something that's worked for 100 years, other than it might be a bit outdated. The fire and shock hazards that are inherent in electrical wiring today mean that we have to have lots of codes, permitting, inspections, and skilled labor is required to do all of the work. It's just inherently complex because it is dangerous. And the observation we made with Dematic is that current AC power delivery is excessive. It's way more power than we need to deliver to modern components. 10 years ago, a light bulb consumed over 100 watts, and the AC motor in a ventilation fan might have been 200 watts. Today, LEDs have brought the power consumption of light fixtures down an order of magnitude. So a typical light fixture might only be 5 or 10 watts. And the other innovation is in motors. Perhaps because of the excitement around drones, we have very efficient DC motors that can power devices. And that technology is finding its way into building fixtures as well. So a lot of the ventilation fans that go into buildings now are driven by DC motors, which don't require much power. So it turns out the amount of power you needed for the fixtures, you know, 15 years ago is no longer necessary anymore. So what we did with Dematic is we realized that there's an opportunity in the existing building codes to take advantage of what the National Electrical Code calls Class 2. And Class 2 says if you're low enough power and a low enough voltage, you're safe. There's no concern over fire or shock hazards. So you can go ahead and have a much simpler process of how you wire the building up. And taking advantage of that allows us to build a new system that actually makes the job for builders a lot easier. And so by itself, AC power has no intelligence. There's no information carried on an AC power line today. And we feel like there's an opportunity there because, you know, instead of just communicating whether or not there is power, we can actually, in this transition to a new, safer, simpler method of wiring, we can combine that with a data connection on the same wires, so that every fixture is not only easy to install, but is instantly smart as a result of the way it's connected to the network.
I love that. We've been doing a lot of podcasts with killer companies like Trimble and learning talking tracks where they talk about one source of truth. So if I'm hearing you talk about that, if you can have one of the legs be running as that data or connectivity of this one source of truth that you can plug into, and you can make all the wire smart. And when you talk about, it's crazy to think 10 years ago, 100-watt light bulb is now in 5 to 10 watts, like a massive change that now we need to have the infrastructure of electrical change with the gadgets, if you will, of all the stuff that it actually gets plugged into to make it all come together. Am I understanding that correctly?
Absolutely. We've innovated on the fixtures that go into a building to make them much lower power, but we've done nothing about the way we deliver power to those fixtures. So we're still using this inefficient method of delivering, 2,000 watts of power to devices that only require 5 or 10 watts now.
Totally. So how can we come together when it comes to wiring a project?
So the first and foremost, we need to speed up installation. We need to make it easier to install wiring in a building. There's a lot of work to do in building a building, and we can't afford to have a ton of effort go into the wiring when it's not necessary anymore. And in that process, we need the components that go into a building to be instantly connected and intelligent. We can't afford to add intelligence to a building and then have to have a whole lot of work done to commission and provision the system. It doesn't help to make a building smart and then require a whole lot of extra work to commission and integrate it into the building systems. That's not going to make any difference to the world if that's all we do. We're just trading off one thing for another. So we believe with Dematic that you can make the fixtures in a building plug and play much the same way devices that plug into a USB port are. I'm sure you can't remember the last time that you had to install a special driver in your computer in order to support a USB device that you plugged in. When you plug a webcam into your computer, it just works. You didn't have to think about it. I plugged this microphone into my computer today and it just worked. I didn't have to install a driver in my computer to talk to a microphone. In our world, we believe that a smart light fixture should, when it's connected to a building, present itself as a light fixture so the building knows how to talk to it. When a ventilation fan connects into the system, it should be recognized as a ventilation fan, and the building should be able to interact with it in that role. And this is, like I said, very much like the way USB works. So we believe that what we really think of this as is plug and play. We need plug and play for the built world so that we can stop torching ourselves with how we wire the buildings in the first place, and also how we commission and provision the system after.
Totally agree. So how can we simplify the wiring then?
Well, for starters, we can use less of it. By putting intelligence on the wire, we can replace a lot of the extra runs that go into hardwired controls. So today, if you have AC power going to a light fixture, that AC power has to go through a light switch, which then makes or breaks the connection. And then another wire has to go out to feed to the fixture. Well, when you have intelligence on the wire, the control is now manifested as messages that are sent over the wire as opposed to making or breaking circuits. So in our world, you only have to have one wire feed to a bank of switches because those switches share that wire for sending messages out to their associated fixtures. So by moving to an intelligent system, you can significantly reduce the amount of wiring that is normally attributed to hardwiring controls. We can also use less material. With class two wiring, that like what Dematic uses, you don't need conduit or metal clad. You can pull simple flexible wiring through free air it through any cavity in the building. It doesn't have to be in special channels. It's also lighter material. 16-2 wiring is sufficient for pulling the Dematic system because we are effectively a power limited system. So compared to a 12-2 Romex cable, 16-2 is about 75% less copper alone. Just think about removing 75% of the copper just by switching to a smaller gauge wire. And then when you add to it the simplicity, because we're not making all these extra runs for control, we end up saving more like 85 or 90% of the copper that goes into a building. And, copper is just one way of looking at it, but that's an enormous amount of material that we're taking out of the building.
So we've definitely talked a lot about the different solutions, and what we're out to solve is to say, we're really trying to make a smart home smart and use less resources to fast track that. And the part that, when I think of electricians, I think of this master electrician that goes through so much schooling to manage safety, right? Of this massive amount of power that not just coming into the house, but feeding all the way through the house. And then you have the low voltage people coming and meeting on the other side. And it's like two totally different things in construction today. And I challenge that to say, it's like the low voltage is the techie person, and the master electrician is like this safety person of understanding grounds and all this like big stuff, right? And having them all come together. But if I'm understanding this right, Domatic kind of helps be this hub to put all this together. Can you talk through how does this product work?
Well, for starters, I think it's an interesting point about the two roles of electricians and then low voltage technicians. I like to think of Domatic as an enabler for electricians so they can make smart buildings without having to add IT skills to their teams. You know, Domatic's wiring is simple, two conductors that can be connected by any means necessary, whether it's crimps or wire nuts or however you normally pull Romex, you're just pulling lighter weight wire and you connect it the same way. So there's no new skills necessary to do the wiring in the first place. And the end result is a smart building. So we feel like we're absolutely empowering electricians to make smart buildings. That said, if you're a low voltage team, you can do the work without necessarily having to have a journeyman electrician on the job either, because the low voltage work is simple and safe, and it doesn't really require the kind of training that you get being a skilled electrician. And the truth is, we don't have enough skilled electricians in this country right now. We expect to have a deficit of about 60,000 electricians in this country by 2024. I mean, there simply aren't enough people in the trades now to do all the work that we need. So if we can lighten the load of electricians, that's all goodness. So the way Domatic works, we run our low voltage power, which is 48 volts. 48 volts is widely recognized worldwide as a safe voltage that is neither danger of fire hazards or shocking people. So by working at this 48 volt level, we meet the class 2 restriction of the National Electrical Code, which means we get all these benefits of simpler wiring. So it's two conductors that get pulled through a building, and it can be arbitrarily branched and daisy chained to get to the fixtures that are connected. So unlike our experience with power over Ethernet, you don't have to have what we call a home run wire from every fixture back to the closet. You can have multiple fixtures connected to together by either branching or teeing off the same wires and only having one wire come back to the closet, which simplifies the wiring significantly. You don't have to think about having so many cables going out through the building. But then what we do in order to make it smart, we're basically embedding a data channel into the power connection itself. So that voltage, that 48 volts, just imagine it's wiggling in a way that creates communicates information over the wire. And effectively what we're able to do is pack about 240 megabits per second of data transfer into the way we wiggle that power line. So every device on the network is able to receive a stream of information at 240 megabits per second, which creates effectively a sort of like an Ethernet network for all the devices to communicate. So by being connected to our system, every device gets 48 volts of power and an IP address. So now we have the basis for a plug-and-play system where every device is smart and automatically connects to a smart building network.
So I'm going to break that down a little bit, because there was so much gold that you just dropped there when you said no home runs. And if you've been involved in wiring, that's a complicated thing. And then there's been all these kind of, you know, Zigbee and Z-Wave and all these different like wireless quote unquote connections, but you have to have everything close enough or repeaters and all these other things to understand how that comes together to link it all together. So not having to have that home run and these other things makes it much simpler to create this kind of network. And the fact that everything's going to have an IP address, now the people who are taking this and having the intellectual property and mapping the different partnerships and all working together, so we can actually have one source of truth and protect in this network from all these different, the Amazon effect all coming into this network. Is that kind of how that works?
Well, I love wireless technology. I think wireless communications has changed our lives. But to me, the real sweet spot for wireless communications is mobility. You know, where if point A and point B are fixed in location and they're connected via a wire, there's really no reason to use wireless, because wireless simply requires, you know, first of all, it uses spectrum, and which is susceptible to interference. But more importantly, it requires provisioning. A Wi-Fi device doesn't just automatically connect to the network in the building it's in. You have to go through and log in somehow, either by knowing the SSID and password or by going through some kind of portal. The provisioning process it always takes time and effort. If you're building a building, suppose you built a building and every fixture in the building was wireless. That's great. But what you would end up having to do is, after you do the installation, you have to make sure every one of those devices is connected to the network and is connected to the network in the right place. So if you're in an apartment building and you have wireless devices, well, you have to make sure that the switches in one apartment aren't controlling the lights in another apartment. The way you do that is you go through a process of provisioning the connections and commissioning the system. It requires extra work that is beyond the scope of what most electrical teams would normally be involved in, which is why after you install all that gear, which has to be installed and powered the same way normal AC devices are, you then have to have a team come in and do the commissioning and provisioning. So like I said, wireless is great when there's mobility, but if these fixtures are all in this, they're not moving around and they're already connected to, you know, to get power to them, we might as well use that connection to give that device an IP address automatically. So there is zero need to provision or commission the system after installation. And with the Dematic system, when you turn it on, all the devices that are connected to the hub are discovered and automatically provisioned into the template that is built for that apartment building. So when you've got 100 apartment units in a building, every time you turn one on, it auto provisions and you move on to the next one. So there's no time spent doing commissioning or provisioning in the system.
Gold. Wireless is for mobility. And what my mind's going to is, like, you talked about logins and all this craziness of wireless, and I love your apartment analogy of the different things, but it's kind of like the wire is your login, because it does all that stuff for you that drives us all crazy of the blessing of wireless to be able to have that mobility, but also the challenges of what's my login. And you start putting all this stuff together, it's this same old problem of managing the tech to make it work. Is that kind of how am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, exactly. Look, the wireless is, again, it's great. It has its role, and mobility is one, and aftermarket installation where you simply can't run a wire that can carry data. It certainly has a role there as well. But if you're, you know, kind of a mission with Dematic was, we said, okay, we understand why aftermarket smart devices tend to use wireless technology, but is that the right technology for new construction? If you're building a building, what's the right way to build a building so that it is smart by design? And the answer to that is not to use wireless, but to hardwire the connections so that we get the benefits of automatic provisioning and isolation from any wireless interference that might come from how the occupant or tenant uses the building. So here's an interesting point. Builders generally don't install Wi-Fi. So if we're going to use Wi-Fi devices in a building, we're asking a builder to install Wi-Fi so that they can connect and provision Wi-Fi devices. That really doesn't make a lot of sense. So bringing wireless technology earlier and earlier into the building process is just complicating the builder's job. That, you know, if we can make a plug and play system, you know, much like USB is, where you simply plug it in and it works, then we have saved the builder time and given them the ability to make a smart building.
Love it. So am I understanding it right? We've put in this infrastructure to where we've built the Domatic to where we're only putting the right amount of wire, because we've talked through that wireless is not for everything. And we've talked through all the different solutions. So you've wired this whole thing and you've talked a couple times, if I heard you right, about kind of back to the hub or back to that. You have to have some kind of brain or some kind of software that matches up to the hardware. And a lot of times I'm seeing it's like all these different gadgets and smart home things, or even if they do have a hub, it's only this few products that work in that kind of brain, or the Ring doorbells, or all these, you know, the Nest thermostats. It's kind of like, then you have to have this specialist up there doing all this other stuff. Correct me if I'm wrong, you've built a software that matches up with the whole infrastructure of Domatic. Can you talk with us about that?
Well, certainly the plug and play nature of what we do with Domatic involves software. You know, you can't make hardware that solves problems like how to create a network and get everything connected together. We build software at multiple layers. We build firmware that goes into the fixture drivers themselves. We build software that runs on our hubs, which performs critical control and management of devices. And then we build cloud software that can tie all the components of a building together into a single point of integration for the building's management system.
And so if I'm signing up to purchase Domatic, you also have a team that can help with the software that's kind of specific, if I'm the builder, to the project. Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, well, typically what we do, it's really not that involved. We simply create templates for the fixtures that we expect to see in each type of apartment. And then when that apartment is powered up the first time, we automatically discover all the components and plug it into the system. Our software takes care of that end to end. So the upfront work is actually not that big of a deal. It just really involves knowing what the plan is for what fixtures are going to be installed, which comes straight out of the building plans, setting up a template for that, and then away we go.
Cool. Well, who is it really for, like the life cycle? Can you talk through? We've talked a lot about the builder here, but life cycles and where it would go. Who is it really for?
Yeah, so beyond builders getting the benefits of faster and simpler installation, you know, operators, when operators have a smart building, they get efficiencies in how they manage the building and also efficiencies in the energy consumption of the building. So building management efficiencies come from having a single system that can integrate everything from the front door all the way through to the automated blinds in the apartment or hotel unit. The efficiencies come from having sensors that can tell you when there's a leak or a flood. Efficiencies from knowing how the building is utilized. You know, we can know what the high traffic areas are in a building. This is all data that can be collected from the operation of the building that is valuable to the building operator. And then tenants actually get a much better experience too. Like it may not have been our starting point for why we built Domatic, but we found that we can make the experience for a tenant much, much better. So in addition to the obvious things like we can very easily integrate an apartment unit with a tenant's favorite voice assistant. So if a tenant likes to use either Amazon or Google or Apple's voice assistant, very easy to, with one step, integrate it so they can start talking to their apartment and ask it to do things, which is, you know, what people come to see as an important component of smart buildings. But to me, that wasn't the real reason to do it. One thing we found we were able to do is make every fixture Especially with lighting, we can make every light fixture healthier. The way we do that is by eliminating flicker and implementing what we call circadian lighting. So most light fixtures today out of the box come with multiple colors of LED elements inside them. This is done just for logistics to make it easier to manage multiple SKUs of devices. So, and if you've ever seen a light fixture with a switch on the side, that lets you set the color temperature. We have implemented that control digitally in our drivers. So every fixture in our system is able to have its color temperature adjusted throughout the day. So imagine you wake up in the morning and your lights are that sort of daylight bluish hue of white that tends to wake you up. And throughout the day, we can change the color temperature gradually so that in the evening, we start to take the blues out, much the same way your phone does with Apple's night shift feature. So imagine night shift for your apartment, where in the evening we take those blues out so that you can be more prepared to get a good night's sleep. So that's called circadian lighting. So we can have the lighting in the building track time of day, and then in the process we're able to eliminate flicker. So the fixtures that connect to AC power systems are basically turning on and off with that AC waveform. It's going, the voltage is going up and down 60 times a second. So with every up and down of that waveform, the light is going on and off and on and off. And that creates a flicker that is a low enough frequency that a portion of the population is affected by that. Some people just get headaches. It can also trigger epileptic fits. So with Dematic, because we're not stuck with the AC waveform, we're able to implement in our reference design a driver that can drive those light fixtures with no perceptible flicker. And we actually implemented the driver according to a well-understood IEEE spec called PAR 1789, which defines healthy lighting. So it really comes down to if you want to dim a light fixture, if you do the modulation at a high enough frequency, it becomes imperceptible to humans and it doesn't create health problems due to flicker. So every fixture in every light fixture in the Dematic network is flicker free and has the ability to do circadian lighting control.
I love the circadian rhythm, which I didn't even know what that was not long ago, but Steve Weber back on show of 212 talking about an automated home as a healthier home, where you have these different companies, and he talked at length about the circadian rhythm and getting the lights. But I raised my hand and say, I've done multiple projects myself where, yes, they have these little settings, but it's like, okay, which is the right setting? And did they make them all on the right settings? And you start doing whole houses. What you're talking about is what, back to your Apple days of just making it work, of your phone, of the, it just automatically shifts to the night shift of the blues of waking you up and the tones of going down. That is, it's good in theory to have those buttons, but it also just creates, if someone goes in and has them all different buttons, talk about a mess that you can create. And then they're up in the wall and how do you take them back out and change them and all those different things. So a lot of gold. Can you give us any case studies or any projects where you could just talk about any specifics of kind of details that Dematic has kind of helped with on projects?
Sure. We completed a project last year in Oakland, California. It was a 9-unit apartment building. And we powered all the lights and fans and door controllers and sensors and basically everything that could be possibly powered by a low voltage system we connected to our network. A couple of interesting things came out of that. One thing we were able to do was solve the problem of emergency path lighting. In that building, we did not need to have special battery-powered light fixtures to turn on when the power was lost. We had a single building inverter that kicked in when the power from the power company was lost. And when that happened, we reconfigured all the lighting to a minimum egress level so that we can make sure the building inverter lasted at least 90 minutes. And that meets this UL specification called UL 924, which defines the requirements for emergency path lighting. So normal fixtures, no special fixtures, none of those frog lights with the batteries and the special spotlights on them. You can just make beautiful fixtures in your staircases and hallways. And we just make sure that the right configuration is on when the power is out that meets the minimum egress lighting, as well as the duration required for emergency mode. Another area where we innovated there is that building has sensors throughout to detect all kinds of things going on in the building. In particular, there are flood sensors in the building that let us know if a tenant, you know, lets the bathtub overflow, or if there's a problem in a utility closet. Like we can detect, water incursions, which can, you know, water is like. Water and fire are the two biggest causes of damage in buildings, right? I think water might be the number one. Maybe not. Maybe fire is. But, you know, detecting water damage early can save you a ridiculous amount of money if you can catch it before it gets to be a big problem. So the sensors that we're able to power with our system, and again, these are permanently powered sensors. There are no batteries in them. So we're not going to have a day where those batteries die and then suddenly we have a water incursion event and there's nothing we can do about it. Because those sensors are permanently powered by our system, there's no need for maintenance. They're always there. They're always connected. And the status of those sensors is always fed to the property manager through our portal.
So what's the best way for people to get a hold of you and reach out, other than we'll put all the information in the show notes for the website and all that stuff? What's your go-to-market strategy? Do you have dealers? How does Domatic currently work? And what's the thought process as you're getting this whole thing rolled out?
So today we work with building developers, basically. We get involved when the buildings are in the planning stage. And then we work with the architects they hire, the general contractors, and the electricians to streamline the process all the way through to construction. We don't do the installation ourselves, but we, you know, especially in these early days, we tend to be pretty heavily involved because we want to see everyone be successful. So that's our starting point, primarily working with developers.
Outstanding. Well, so much information there that is just obvious of what we need to do. It's just getting the Art of Construction tribe and everybody to adapt and change. That's just a big thing that we've been doing it this way for a long time. And there's so many moving parts. And I commend you for taking on the wiring, the hardware, the software, all these different moving parts, all the way back from your FireWire days, and taking all those lessons learned and moving it forward. And the question we always ask, that boy, I'm excited to get your answer with, you are out there in the technology sphere and doing so many cool things, but what is your future, or what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
Well, for starters, I think we need to have higher expectations of technology. You know, it's all too often the benefits of new technology come with hidden surprises that that impact the overall benefits that we could get. To do that, we need to think about the entire process, not just, you know, one piece of it. We need to have everything from the conception of how to design the building all the way through the construction process, the operation of the building, and the experience of the tenant taken into account holistically. And I mean, it's really where this idea of a true plug and play system comes into play. There should be nobody that interacts with the building, especially a smart building system, that has to know anything other than just, you know, how to live their lives and use the technology. The technology should bend to people. We shouldn't expect people to bend to technology.
I hear you. And I love that. It's what I'm hearing from you is it's time to say we need to make smart homes smart. And it's time to say tech needs to bend to us humans, because humans are all over the place, but the tech can be a systemized approach to put this together. So as we close this thing out, the final question we always ask, what is that one thing you want to leave for contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
If you're a contractor that really wants to make better product, make better buildings, then you need to be looking for not just new technology, but new technology that is designed to make your life better. And you should have higher expectations of what the, you know, what the technology industry is bringing to you. And what I've, you know, our mission has always been to bring the technology to the people, whether it's the tenants or the operators or the people who are doing the installation themselves. You should expect that from us, and don't let us off the hook.
I love it. Jim, so many things that you're set out to solve with a tool to solve that. We commend you. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
It's my pleasure.
Tribe, so many different things that he talked about out there about how we can help solve and break down these silos. And I asked him when we were doing this, put together some key technical points of all the different moving parts. And it talks, his whole thing is about we have to do simple wiring smarter. So a few things around those things. When it comes to simple wiring, two conductors, 18 gauge wiring is enough for low voltage. So he talked a lot about the class two, and you don't need to reuse all that copper and all this big 12 gauge wiring. That the two conductor 18 gauge wiring is enough for low voltage. And a lot of our items now classify in that arbitrary branching and chaining, and you don't need to have home runs. So less wiring, and we can now have much simpler terminations and no need to pass power through switches, and all the circuits are virtual. That is so powerful, Tribe. And at the end of the day, we're doing this podcast to build better buildings and be smarter at what we do. And boy, it's an honor to be able to have Jim come in and share a story with us, because when it comes to smarter, it's every fixture on your network and implements a standard interface. And I love his analogies when it came all the way back to the beginning of the celebrities to the different USBs of lamps, fans, sensors, blinds. You got to think about this stuff, and we have to take and we have to borrow from other areas, like how USB, the mouse and keyboards, camera and all that stuff. Think about that the same way of smarter living in your home and create automatic provisioning. And most importantly, safety, which is really, I think, the crux at the end of the day, is that it is scary if you can get electrocuted and die. But if we have automatic detection and failed safe fixtures, and we're changing how we do this, we can all build better buildings and manage what we don't have enough of. Time and money, and us, Tribe, the people that make this all work. Make sure you pay attention to what's going on with Domatic and all the cool stuff. If you go look into the podcast about system build lifestyle, we've got a lot of great conversations with Jim where we're talking about how you can integrate this stuff to build better buildings. Join the movement, be part of it, crush it. We're big fans. Thanks for Domatic and Jim for coming in and being leaders of the tribe. Crush it out there.